Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, daf Beis. We begin the new Masechta. Number of things I'd like to go over before we start the actual Masechta. First of all, Pesachim is next in Seder Moed. So obviously here in daf Yomi, so we're going to be covering the entirety of Seder Moed from the beginning, Masechta to the last Masechta. That, of course, was not true by Zrayim. By Zrayim, we covered one Masechta and that was it. But here in Moed, we're covering everyone. So we did Shabbos, we did Erevin. And now we're up to Pesachim. So why is Pesachim next? There are a lot of good reasons why. The first one, of course, is that this is the first yontif of the year, right? The year really starts in Nisan, right? I know we get a little bit confused because we describe Tishrei as Rosh Hashanah, which is true, but nevertheless, in terms of the months, Nisan is number one, and so therefore Pesach is the first yontif, and you go through Parshas Emor, and of course you encounter Pesach to be the first yontif. So as a result of that, it for sure comes up as the first yontif, and that's why it's next in here in Seder Moed. We did Shabbos, Erevin, which is really a supplemental to Shabbos, and then we are here in the first yontif, which is Pesach or Pesach. Good. So that's one reason. But then there's another reason, and you've heard me say this before, and it's just absolutely correct. And that is that the order of the Masechtas in every Seder is based on the number of Prakim that each Masechta have. So that means to say Shabbos is 24 Prakim, so it's number one. Erevin, which is 10 Prakim, although it could be that Erevin is really an addendum to Shabbos, but it still works. Erevin is 10 Prakim, so it's Masechta number two. Pesachim is 10 Prakim, so it becomes Masechta number three. The next one is going to be Shkalim, which is 8 Prakim, and et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, as the Prakim of the Masechtas get smaller, so then it follows in line in each one of the Sedarim. And this idea works for every Seder, without exception. Okay, good. Anyway, that is another reason in terms of why it is that the Masechtas follow a particular order. Okay, number two. Okay, when we talk about Pesachim, so let's just quickly organize the Masechta. So the first of the Prakim are basically Prakim 1 through 4. And then Prakim 5 through 9. And then the 10th and final Perek. How do we break up the Masechta? So Prakim 1 through 4, so basically the elimination of Chametz and the creation of Matzah. Right? Chametz and Matzah. So that's Prakims 1 through 4. Then 5 through 9, Karban Pesach. Half of the Masechta is dedicated to how to successfully bring the Karban Pesach. And then the 10th Perek actually deals with the Leil HaSeder. And that is the final parak of the Masechta. So that's going to be a breakup of the Masechta in terms of Prakim. Good. So we spoke about why Pesach is next. We spoke about the order of the Masechtas in Seder Moed. We spoke about the organization of the Prakim of the Masechta. And now let's speak a little bit about the actual Yontif of Pesach itself. Perhaps one of the biggest misconceptions that we have going today is that Pesach is a description of the Yontif of Pesach, okay? And most of the Masechta, with exception to the 10th Perek, deals with Erev Pesach, meaning we colloquially describe Pesach as being the Yontif of Pesach, but from the Torah standpoint, from the Mishnah standpoint, from the Gemara standpoint, that's inaccurate. Pesach actually is a reference to Erev Pesach. Why? Very simply. Because that's the time that we are getting rid of the chametz. That's the time that we're making the matzah. That's the time that we're offering the Karban Pesach. And the yontif of what we call Pesach, right, Chag HaMatzos, so that's the 15th day. So whenever we describe Pesach here in the Mishnah and the Gemara, we're really describing what you and I describe as Erev Pesach, okay? And because on Erev Pesach, a lot of things are happening, and really all the action, as far as the halacha is concerned, not all, but the majority of the action where the halacha is on Erev Pesach. So first of all, the eradication of chametz. That's Erev Pesach. And that's what we're going to be starting here in our parak, in terms of getting rid of chametz. So that is Erev Pesach. And then the baking of matzah, which can be done on Pesach itself, can be done on the actual yontif, but obviously the minhag Yisrael is not to do that. But that's also done on Erev Pesach. Obviously, we nowadays, who are not much in terms of baking the matzah, we buy it earlier, but that's also done on Erev Pesach. And then the Karban Pesach, so that's in the afternoon, so that too is also on Erev Pesach. So, right, if somebody were to ask you, Pesach, what is it about? So the accurate answer, right, no need to be smarter than everybody else, but the accurate answer is that that Pesachim has to do with Erev Pesach much more than it has to do with actual Pesach itself. Only when we get up to the 10th parak of the Masechta, then and only then are we going to be talking about the Lel HaSeder, meaning only then are we actually in Yontov of what you and I describe as Pesach. Okay, good. All right, that's just a clarification. Okay, now let's move our attention and talk a little bit about the Isser of Chametz, because that is what we're going to be focusing on. The Isser of Chametz is an interesting Isser in the Torah, and it is most unusual. It has features in it that many of the other, I'd say all the other Machalos or Suros don't have. When it comes to the Isser of Chametz, so when you have leavened bread, and all these terms are going to be defined over the course of Ar Masechta, right? Not right away. Chametz comes up a little bit later on, but anyway, but when you have leavened bread, when you have chametz, so it is asur b'achila. We're not allowed to eat it during the 7 days of Pesach. Furthermore, it's asur b'hana. Not allowed to get benefit from it. Furthermore, there's an issur of what's called bal ye matzeh. You are not allowed to own it. It's not allowed to be in your possession over the course of Pesach. And the onesh, the punishment of it, if you eat it on Pesach, is an issur kares. Furthermore, there are mitzvos in terms of how to eradicate and how to get rid of the chametz on Pesach. So there is a lot going on with the issur of chametz on Pesach that you don't have by other issurim. By other issuri achila, so there's an issur of achila. Sometimes there's an issur of hana as well, right, that we find by basa b'chalav. Sometimes we're also going to find that there's an issur kares, that's by chalev, that's by dam. But to have the confluence of all these isurim embodied in one food product, you don't have it outside of chametz. Chametz is where you have everything: an isur of achila, an isur of hana'a, an isur of bayira, bayimatze, a chiyuv kares. So all that is encapsulated within chametz. So chametz is most unusual, and being that it's so highly unusual, so the Gemara is going to be spending a lot of time discussing the isur of chametz, and that's where we're about to begin. One more introductory word before we actually start the Masechta, and that is as follows. This is just a great way to view Masechtas in general here in Moed. It's true by Shabbos, it's true here in Pesachim, it's true in Yuma, and I'm sure I'm missing a couple of others as well. But basically, the Seder of the Mishnayos follow the introduction of the day itself, meaning by Shabbos, for example. Now, by Shabbos, take away the first Mishnah, which is a Mishnah on Hotza'ah, but take that away. Where does the Masechta of Shabbos to start? It starts on Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, getting a haircut, getting ready for Shabbos, lighting the Shabbos lich, that's the second perek, preparing the food before Shabbos, shihi ahatmana, that's the third and fourth perek, etc., etc. So in other words, the Masechta itself basically walks us through the day as we're entering into Shabbos. And here in Pesachim, it's no different. Meaning, where are we going to start off here in Pesachim? So the Yontov of Pesach is the eve of the 15th, but we're going to back up a whole day. We're going to go back to the eve of the 14th, in which we're going to have the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, where there's a mitzvah derabanan, which we're going to be introduced to in just a moment, where we're going to search for our chametz and we're going to get rid of our chametz. And then after that, we're going to take us into the morning of the 14th, and then midday of the 14th, where there's going to be an Isser of Chametz and Pesach, and then on the afternoon of the 14th, which is Prakims 5 through 9, which is going to be the Karban Pesach. So it basically walks us through the day from the beginning to the end until we get to the actual Yontov itself. And then, of course, the 10th Perek is the actual Seder night. So the order of the Mishnayos basically take us through chronologically the day as if we're experiencing the day itself. Yuma, by the way, just as long as we're here, I'll just give this one as an example as well. So Yuma is another wonderful example of this idea, where Yuma, so we talk about the preparation of the Kohen Gadol, where he's sequestered for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. So that's another wonderful example of this idea, where basically we're advancing as we normally do through a regular Yom Kippur. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to all the end of the introduction, and so here we begin. We're in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to be starting with an introduction to the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. The Chachamim, from Rashi, the Rashi we'll get to in just a moment, but the simple way to say it is that the Chachamim instructed us to search for Chametz on the night of Pesach, on the night of Erev Pesach, meaning Orlar Basar, which we're about to see in just a moment, in order to make sure that we do not have Chametz in our house. For what reasons exactly? So stay tuned. We're going to go through Rashi. We're going to go through Tosos. Anyway, we start with the Mishnah Orla Arba Asar on the eve of the 14th. Botkin es hachametz leor haner. So we're going to be searching for chametz by the light of the candle. And kol makom she'machnitzim bo chametz ein tzarich bedika. Any place where you do not bring chametz in does not require bedika. Uvameh amru. Now, where did they say this? Meaning, where is it exactly that there is a requirement to go ahead and to do the search for chametz? Now, the Mishnah over here is going to be giving a very specific example, and that is that we're talking about here about the cellar. The cellar meaning with the sea, where you keep the wine. So why is there going to be chametz in the cellar? Cellar is where you keep wine. There's not going to be any chametz over there. So the answer is, v'ameh amru beishuros. So the in the cellar, so there are going to be occasions where during the meal, you're going to be sending your attendant over to the cellar to go ahead and to get some food. I'm sorry, to get some wine. And while he's there, he's still going to be holding a sandwich in his hands. And so there is a possibility that chametz is going to be introduced into the cellar. So as a result of that, so it needs to be checked, but not the whole cellar. How much of the cellar? So the Tanaim disagree. Uvameh amru beishuros b'martev. So it's only two rows of the cellar, the place where you bring chametz in. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shuros, Al Pnei Kol HaMartef. Now, according to Beis Shammai, it's two rows over the entire face. Beis Hillel Omrim, Shei Shuros HaChitzon Shehin Al Yonos. And according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be two rows, the two exterior rows, which are the two upper rows. Okay, in terms of clarification of the Shittos of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so stay tuned. The Gemara, not today, but the Gemara later on, is going to see clarification in terms of what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are talking about in terms of the examination of these cellars. We're going to come back to that. In the meantime, however, what we're going to be spending our entire daf today is focusing on that first word of the Mishnah. Now, you'll notice as I read it that when we said over the pshat in the first word of the Mishnah, Orla Arbasar, so I said it's the night of the 14th, right? And very casually, I went ahead and took a word that we all thought we knew what it meant, which is light, and I translate it as the night of the 14th. Now, what I happen to be doing is saying the correct pshat in the Mishnah, meaning that's correct. The Mishnah actually means the night of the 14th. It is a funny way to describe night by calling it or, but as you could probably guess already, the Mishnah over here is speaking euphemistically, meaning that the Mishnah does not want to start off a Masechta using the word night, just not an appropriate language, and so therefore we're going to be using or just as a euphemism to describe the night of. Good. That's the simple pshat of the Mishnah, but it is a little bit strange. And what the Gemara is going to be spending a good amount of time doing today is offering an alternative pshat in the Mishnah, a pshat that eventually we're going to reject. But that's the way Gemara works. Before we start with the Gemara and a lengthy discussion regarding the word or, so let's just spend a moment talking about Rashi, which is really popular, discussed very often. So there is a mitzvah derabbanan to go ahead and to search for chametz on the night of the 14th to make sure that when you go into Pesach, you don't have any chametz. And what exactly is the purpose of the bedika? So Rashi writes as follows. It's the second line of Rashi, Botkin, Shelo Yavor Allah Beval Yerav Vayimatzeh. So Rashi says that what we're going to do is that we're going to do the bedika in order to see that, make sure that we don't have any chametz, so that we'll not be in violation of Vayirav Vayimatzeh. Vayirav Vayimatzeh is we're going to be seeing over the course of our Masechta, those are the code words for the Isser of ownership of chametz. One is not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, and the Gemara always describes that as Bal Yera Bal Yematzeh. The terminology itself and Wipsukim get us to that point. We're going to discuss later on. Anyway, Rashi says that we do Bedika, so we don't violate Bal Yera Bal Yematzeh. So take a look at the top Tosos here in our Masechta. Perisha Kunsha Shalolav or Alav Beval Yera Bal Yematzeh Vikashalari. So Tosos says he has very difficult, he has a tremendous difficulty with his pshat. So, shortly from now, in Dav Vav, we're going to be talking about Bittel. And that's the nullification of the Chametz, which is a Bodek Sarach Sheivatel, that even after you do Bedika, there's still going to be a requirement of Bittel, and that's nullifying your Chametz. Now, Umid Araisa Bebittel Ba'al Masage. Now, the Gemara is going to be very clear, Tosfos over here quotes it, is that Min Torah, what do you need to do? So all you need to do is just simply Bittel Ba'alma. In other words, you need to nullify, and min ha-Torah, that's going to be good. Meaning you're no longer the owner, because what you've done now is you've nullified your chametz. And min ha-Torah, that's simply fine. So if that's true, so Tosfos says, so I don't understand Rashi. Rashi says that the whole purpose of doing the bedika is so that one won't violate the Isser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Tosha says, what are you talking about? All you need to do is do bittul. Bittul min ha-Torah is enough in order to make sure that your chametz that's in your house is not yours because you've nullified it. You've declared it to be hefker. Later we're going to talk more precisely in terms of what exactly bittul is doing. It's just simply negating it. You're declaring it ownerless. Okay, that's going to be discussed later on with more precision. But in the meantime, however, bittul works min ha-Torah. And that means to say that your home could be filled with chametz, but because you were mevatel, because you nullified it, so therefore it is it's no longer in your ownership, and therefore you're not violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So what's Rashi talking about? Rashi says that the bedika is there to address Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So amai tzrich chacham in bedika klal. So then why is bedika necessary altogether? So Tosfos just simply has a real difficult time with Rashi. Rashi saying that the whole issue of bedika is to not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. It's not true. Bittul is what's solving the problem for Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And it's not the bedika. V'nira l'ri, so the Tosfos, the Balei Tosfos there forgive an entirely different approach in terms of what the purpose of bedika is. Af agav desagi bebittul ba'alma, hechmir chachamim livdok chametz ulevaaro, shelo yavo la'achlo. So Tosfos says over here that no, bedika, the purpose of bedika is as follows. This is really a safeguard measure that was implemented by the chachamim. And that is that what the Chachamim didn't want us to do is that the Chachamim didn't want us to come and end up eating our chametz. Meaning, let's say we have a house full of chametz going into Pesach. And okay, and by day three already, so I'm missing my bread. I really like my bread, I'm missing it. And I'm being surrounded by chametz. Now chametz, now that's not mine because I was mevatel it, but it's all around me. So if we left ourselves off in that position, so we're going to be tempted or absentmindedly, we're going to go ahead and eat bread. So the purpose of bedika, says Tosfos, is that bedika really is a phase in terms of biur, meaning that what we want to do is that we want to eliminate our chametz from our house. So what we're going to do is that we're going to destroy it. But before we destroy it, so there has to be a search, right? We all know the expression, right? Search and destroy. So we want to destroy the chametz, but the first thing we need to do is find the chametz and therefore destroy it. Why? Tosfos says, because if we don't do that, we're going to be tempted to eat it over the course of Pesach. And so therefore, Tosfos' understanding is that the purpose of bedika is that it's really a process in biur, and on top of that, the reason, the motivation of why the Chachamim impose this is so that we don't end up finding chametz in our property, not ours, because we were mevatel it, but finding chametz in our property, and then we may come to eat it. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, good. That's a lot of safeguarding in terms of chametz on Pesach. Why put in so many safeguards? Meaning, bittul really is enough to solve for the problem of ownership of Pesach. Ownership of chametz, sorry. And now on top of that, we're also going to have biur. And on top of that, we're also going to have bedika now on top of that as well. So why all that? So skip down a couple lines in Tosfos. He writes as follows. V'atam, shi'chmiru kan, tfei mibishar isurei hana'a, shelo hitzrichu leva'aram. So you'll notice that when it comes to any of the other Isurei Hana'a of the Torah, so there isn't this requirement of searching, destroying, that we have like on Chametz on Pesach. Mishum de Chametz Mutter Kol Hashana, Volo Ne'asar Rak BePesach Volo B'Dila Minei. So Tosfos over here writes that aside from the fact that Chametz is Asur B'Achila, Asur B'Hana'a, it is also, it's Asur to own it, aside from all that, and I'll also add, there's an Isser Kares if one were to eat it. So aside from all that, also for 300 and, well, depending on whether you're going solar or lunar year, but for most of the days of the year, let's say it simply like that. For most of the days of the year, chametz is perfectly mutter. Now, you and I are allowed to eat chametz. And not only that, happens to be that we particularly enjoy it. Okay, so so we are habituated to the idea of eating chametz. And now for 7 days of the year, here in Chutz Laaretz, 8 days of the year, now we have to refrain from eating chametz. So that is a significant change in behavior. And so for a significant change of behavior, so the Chachamim recognized and realized that we're so accustomed to eating chametz that once Pesach rolls around, so we know the Torah prohibits it and we're obviously not going to eat it, but at the same time, habits are hard to break. And here, the habit of eating bread, which is something that we do for most of the year, so that's going to be a hard habit to break. So therefore, the Chachamim stepped in. The Chachamim said, yeah, it is a hard habit to break. and therefore bedika, therefore beer. Okay, good. Tosa says that's why we're more chomer when it comes to Pesach as opposed and chametz as opposed to any of the other isurei hana. Good. So much more to discuss regarding Rashi and Tosfos. So all we did was just simply scratch the surface, a simple presentation of why exactly the Chachamim want us to do Bedika. According to Rashi, it's so that we will not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. According to Tosfos, it's a safeguard measure imposed by the Chachamim so that we don't find chametz on our property and our possession during Pesach and we'll be tempted to eat it. And so that we will not be violating the Isser of Achila. Good. That's Rashi, that's Tosfos. Let's begin with the Gemara. We are in Psachim Dav Beis, and we are starting now with the Gemara with a very simple question, my or. The Mishnah says that if you that once you get to the night of the 14th, so or la basar, so you go ahead and you do a bedika. When we said the word or, what does that mean? So again, I already said the pshat, but the Gemara now is going to be going into a lengthy discussion in terms of what's the pshat. Rav Huna Amar Nage, Rav Yehuda Amar Lele. So according to Rav Huna, or actually means the light. Meaning the morning of the 14th. That's when you do the bedika. And Rav Yehuda Amar Leila, and Rav Yehuda says that it's the night and the night prior, meaning the night of the 14th. Now, at this point in time, we think there's actually a machlokus amongst the Amoraim when to do bedikas chametz. Meaning that's a simple way to explain the machlokus Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna has us checking for chametz on the morning of, and according to Rav Yehuda, we're actually checking for chametz the night prior, the night of the 14th. That's what we think right now. And with that in mind, so the Gemara is going to go ahead and basically take us through a tour of Tanakh to see whether or not there's any way that we could take the word or and describe it as night. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, Haboka or Vanashim Shulchu. So we start off with a pasuk in Parshas Miketz. So it was morning, aboka or, vanashim shulchu, and the brothers were sent home. Good. So alma or, yamamahu, so you see that the word or is actually a reference to yom. Now over here, a little bit of a grammar point over here, and that is as follows. Meaning, when we say the word or, you and I, so obviously or means light, and we all know that. But we're looking at the word or from a standpoint of a noun. Meaning, the Mishnah said, or la arba asar. Now, the way we translate that is the night of the 14th. So, when or is being used as an adjective, and you're going to hear this again and again throughout our Gemara. So, clearly, or as an adjective is something which describes light and illumination. But when we're talking about or as a night, so what does that mean exactly? So, all these psukim that we're going to be quoting a number of psukim over the course of today's daf. So, at first, the Gemara thinks that we're using the word or as a noun. And then later on, for purpose of clarification, the Gemara is going to say, no, it's not being used as a noun, it's being used more as an adjective. Okay? That's a grammatical point that we keep hitting upon again and again throughout this discussion. So again, the Pasuk in Miketz, Haboka or Vanashim Shulchu, morning came, the brothers were sent, Amma or Yamamahu, so you see that or is actually a reference to date. So the Gemara says, no, you got the Pasuk wrong. Miksiv ha'or boker, haboker or. So it doesn't, or over here is not being used as a noun. It doesn't mean, and it's the light, and it's morning, but rather, the morning illuminated. It's an adjective. It's like you and I saying, hey, look, it's morning outside, and look at the light coming out. And this speaks about another idea. When were the brothers walking home? So they didn't walk home at night, but rather only during the daytime did they start going home. And the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Lo Lami Kanes Adam B'Chitov Yetzeh B'Chitov, that when a person goes on a journey, so he should be going out during the day, and when he gets to his destination, he should get there while it's still light outside. In other words, really good practical advice of the Gemara: travel during the daytime. Don't travel at night. Traveling at night, so that's dangerous, right? Rashi over here describes that you are prone to wild animals and attacks from wild animals. Rashi elsewhere, where the Gemara is quoted elsewhere, talks about the mazikin. In other words, just simply travel during the day, during the time of Kitov. Kitov, by the way, over here is a reference to where it's light outside. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges once again. Uchaor boke yizrach shemesh. So in Shmuel Beis, so the Pasuk describes koor boker, the light of the morning, yizrach shemesh. Ama or yamamu, so you see or as a noun is being described as day. So miksiv or boker, uchaor boker. So the Gemara says, no, once again, you misunderstood the pasuk. The word or over there is not being used as a noun, but rather being used as an adjective, ucha or boker. Ksiv achi kamar. And this is pshat in the pasuk. Ucha or boker ba'olam hazeh ke'in tzricha shemesh la'sadikim la'olam haba. That as the daytime becomes illuminated, so too will olam haba be illuminated for the tzaddikim. It's an adjective, not a noun. Meisvei the Gemara challenges once again, vayikra elokim la'or yom. So you see that the Torah, when describing the day, it describes it as or. Ama or yamamahu. So you see that the word or over there as a noun is being described as day. Hachi kama, the Gemara says, once again, not necessarily. Lemeir uva, as the day is illuminating, kari yom. It's called day. The word yom is a noun. The word or over there is just simply a description. It means as it is illuminating. Elamiata, the Gemara says, really. So the Gemara says, come on. So now let's go to the other side of that pasuk. And that is the word choshech. So we have to be consistent. If the word or is a description of the illumination, so the word machshich means as the light starts disappearing. And what does the Torah say? That's night. Now you and I know, and the Gemara is going to be very clear in just a moment. As it starts to get dark, that's not night. V'akai malan, we know. When does the day end? The day ends with Tzeitza Kochavim. Meaning, yes, even after sunset, even after it starts getting darker and darker, we know the night doesn't come until actual stars are seen. And that's well after it starts getting dark. So the Gemara says so. So if you're describing or as an adjective, you therefore are forced to describe Choshech as an adjective, but it's not accurate. Meaning, as it starts to get dark, now it's night. It's not true. Nighttime only comes with Tzeitza Kochavim. El hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so, new pshat in the pasuk. And that is, Kari Rachman al Nahora, Upakte Mitzvasa Diyamama. So Akash Baruch Hu called out to the luminaries. And now that they are in action, meaning that the sun is rising. So now, as the sun is rising, in fact, even before sunrise, meaning already at dawn, so, but as the luminaries are now called into action, so that's Yom. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Choshech. Now, just as a general principle, Choshech, what is it? Is it the absence of light? Is it something tangible and real? Whatever the case is, in other words, the way we're going to understand the pasuk is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the sun, okay, now it's time to set, and all the nighttime luminaries are coming into play, and now, at that juncture, that's going to be Laila. So in other words, the description over here is not as it gets dark, but as the Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs the sun to set and the nighttime luminaries to illuminate, so at that point in time, it's night. Good. So, once again, sidestepping the issue of how does the Torah describe the word or by itself does not, as a noun, so far we've yet to find a place where or is being called the day. Just as an interesting point over here, second to last Tosus over here, the Gemara says, here in Pesachim, Dav Bezim and Aleph, with no hesitation, no reservation whatsoever, nighttime is when with Tzeisa Kochavim. Now, Tosus over here notes that we find a number of Gemaras going back to Shabbos and Bamem Adlikin. So the Gemara over there talks about how the nighttime is maybe a couple minutes after sunset, more than a couple, okay? But about 15 minutes after sunset is nighttime, right? Imprecise, but you get the point. And that Tzeitza Kochavim, so Tosfos over here writes, yes. Meaning, there is a range of positions when nighttime is, right? There is a two-thirds of a mil, three-quarters of a mil after sunset. There's 72 minutes after sunset. Tosfos says over here, that's all true. But regardless of which position you take, so when the Bein HaShemashos period is over, so that is Tzeitza Kochavim. Yes, there is a debate of when Tzeitza Kochavim is, but L'chuleyam, according to everybody, so when you declare Bein HaShemashos to be over and the night time to begin, so that's the period of Tzeitza Kochavim. And then, Tosfos writes over here, what you're then going to have to debate is, what exactly is a Kochav? What exactly, which stars are we looking for when it comes to Tzeitza Kochavim? Okay, anyway, we continue in the Gemara, Meisvei. The Gemara over here is going to be challenging based on another pasuk we're familiar. Haluko Kochve or. So we're talking about the Kochavim or, Ama or Ortahu. Okay, finally, we now have a pasuk that would seem to indicate that or is actually nighttime. When it describes the Kochve or, right, the lights of night. That's what we're proposing. The Gemara says, no, hachi kamalu kol kochvim ha-me'irim. Over there, the word or over there is not night, but rather it's an adjective. It describes the kochav which illuminates during the night. But the word or over there just simply is illumination, not nighttime. So the Gemara says, now that means that, going back to that pasuk in Tehillim, so only the stars that illuminate, they require a shevach. Stars that don't illuminate, they don't require a shevach. Meanwhile, the pasuk says that we should be praising every one of these celestial bodies, even stars that don't provide illumination. So we need to be praising them as well. So as part of the shevach of the world and the universe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So the Gemara says, so we're not limited to just giving praise to the stars, not to, but about the stars in the sky. So Allah HaKamash Malanta or de Kochavim Nami or. So the Gemara says, you're right. As far as the point that we just made regarding the Pasuk, it means that when stars are providing illumination, so that qualifies halachically as light. Lamai nafkamina, so what? So the Gemara says, l'anodah min ha'or, person making a neder. So we know the halacha is, didnan, anodah min ha'or, asr ba'oron shel kochavim. Person makes a neder, he's not going to get any benefit from any kind of light. Okay, it's a funny neder, admittedly, but the person makes such a neder, so he's not allowed to get benefit from, obviously, those things that are providing providing clear light, but even stars that are providing subtle light, but as long as it's perceptible light, so that's also included in your neder as well. Okay, Meisvei. The Gemara is going to be challenging as we now are at the bottom of Beis Amid Aleph. Here we go, another pasuk. La'or yakum rotzech yikatel ani ve'avyon v'layla yihi kiganav. Pasuk in Eov describing la'or, that now in a moment we're going to see the contrast in the pasuk. So let's leave the word or right now untranslated. So la'or yakum rotzech yikatel. So the murderer is going to get up and kill. Ani ve'avyon uvalayla yikaganav. And at nighttime he's going to be like a thief. Okay, a description obviously of about a very bad person. But right now we're focusing on the contrast. Now Laila, that's clearly night. So what's or in contrast to Laila? So it's day. So what it sounds like is that we have over here a clear pasuk in Eov that uses the word or as a noun, just like Laila is a description of night. So to or in that pasuk clearly is a description of day. Seems like we have it. As we turn now to the Amud Beis, me Hamid the Kamar of Laila Yikaganav. So you see that at nighttime you're like a gavan, aganav ama or yamamahu. So it's clear now that the or referenced in the beginning of the pasuk is a reference to day. Ha'samachi kamar, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Ipshita lach milsa kinuhura da anafshos kasei rotzeachu v'nitel natzila banafsho v'i misafka lach milsa kalayla yibenecha kaganav lo nitel natzila banafsho. So the Gemara says that the word or over there is not to be understood as the daytime, but rather clarity. And that means to say someone breaks into your house. When someone breaks into your house and now it is clear that your life is being threatened, so now he is a rotzeach, he is a rodef, and you have the right to kill him. If, however, someone breaks into your house and it's not clear that he's going to kill you, so then what you don't have the right to do is kill him, and therefore you leave him be with no right to defend yourself and to kill him if you're not sure. Okay, the Gemara over here really works in perfect coordination with the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Beis. Gemara over there in the 8th parak of Sanhedrin talks about someone breaking into your home and your right to defend yourself and your right to kill him in order to prevent yourself from being killed. Now, as you can well understand, as we all know, so the Torah gives us the right to defend ourselves. Someone's coming in and threatening our lives, so we have the absolute right to defend ourselves. The Gemara over here says that only if you're sure that he's coming to kill you, then and only then can you defend yourself. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually makes it a little bit more complicated, but it's really based on two ways of reading the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, right? Now, Baba Machteres is the discussion over there. Anyway, I'll say it succinctly right now, but and Rashi over here really goes through it in more detail. But anyway, it basically comes out that when the person who breaks into your house is somebody like your father, and quite frankly, the Gemara says there are not many other examples. In fact, unless it's a really good friend, the Gemara says it's just basically your father, where your father is hardwired not to kill the son. So under those circumstances, so unless you know for sure that he's coming to kill you, how do you know for sure? So, right, the simple but brutal example would be where, let's say, he already killed some of your brothers. Okay, so, right, bizarre as that sounds. But anyway, but if you know for sure he's going to kill you, so then you have the right to defend yourself. But if you don't know, so the chances are, the likelihood he's not going to kill you. That's what our Gemara is describing over here. And Rashi, all this, what I'm saying, by the way, Rashi points out, right? In other words, I got it from Rashi. And as opposed to where somebody breaks in who is not your father, so there, if he's breaking into your home, so now your life is really at risk, so you have the right to defend yourself. The Gemara in Sanhedrin over there writes that under those circumstances, even if you're not sure, but if he's taking the time to break into your home, right, he's tunneling in to get into your home, so then, misafik, you do have the right to defend yourself, and if necessary, you kill the intruder. Okay, anyway, what comes out from all this is that the word or used in the Pasuk in Iyov is not a description of the daytime, meaning it's not a noun describing day, but rather it's an adjective saying that if it's clear to you that he's coming to kill you, meaning dad, so under those circumstances, you have the right to defend yourself and kill him. Meitzvei, we're back in the Gemara. Here we go again. Another Pasuk in Iyov. Yechashku koch ve'nasho yikav lo'or ve'ayin ve'al yirei ba'afafei shachar. So the pasuk says, "Midekamer yikav laor ve'ayin." The person is hoping, he's waiting for daytime, and it's not coming. Ama or yamamahu. So you see over there that the word "or" is a reference to the day. So we seem to have another pasuk that clearly uses the word "or" as a noun and describes it as day. So Hasam, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Over there, what we could suggest is the following: Hasam milid hu dekalayit le iov lemazle. What Iyov is doing is cursing his mazel. Amar Yehi Rava, de litzvei hachgavar lenehura velo lishchache. So may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the person should experience daytime, or experience light, velo lishchache, and it never came. So, okay, so in other words, once again, we're not using the word or in the context of a noun, but rather we're using it as an adjective. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges once again, v'omer acho shech yishufeni v'layla or ba'adeni. So the choshech surrounds me, and laila v'laila or ba'adeni ama or yamamahu. So that would seem to be that the word or is a reference to day, meaning that the daytime for me is like night. So hasam hachi kamar David. So the Gemara says, no, that's not how to understand the pasuk in Tehillim, but rather here's how we understand it. So hasam hachi kamar David. Ani amarti ach choshech yishufeni l'olam haba shu dome l'yom. I thought that I was going to be surrounded by night during the day, meaning day over here, not to be described as the actual day, but rather Olam Haba. So in other words, David thought that I was not going to get a portion of Olam Haba. Okay, and I'm sure we can all fill in the blanks in terms of why David thought that, but he thought that. So Akshav, so ha'olam hazeh shu dam alayla or ba'deni. But then he says, but look, my life in this world is really such a misery. So it gives me more assurances that the Olam Haba is going to be one in which I'm going to be experiencing light. Okay, Adkan. So once again, another pasuk which seems to indicate that the word or is a reference to daytime. And the Gemara says, no, or over there also is being used as a descriptive, not as a noun. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges once again. So up until this point in time, so we've been attacking the problem by psukim, meaning not a problem, but a good description of what the word or means. Or as a noun. Can it mean daytime? Does it mean nighttime? And so we've quoted many psukim, a lot of psukim from Iyov, psukim from Tehillim, Bereishis, Shmuel Beis. Okay, so none of those psukim clearly indicate that the word or used as a noun is actually a reference to daytime. Right? It's ironic. It's odd. Right? If you asked me before the daf started, what does the word or mean? Right? Obviously light, but or as opposed to Laila. Okay, anyway, there is no clear indication in the Pesukim that this is so, that the word or as a noun is a reference to day. So here we go now, we're going to leave the world of Pesukim, and now we're going to enter into the world of Mishnayos and Braisos. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Botkin or Le'arba'asar uva'ba'asar shachris v'shas abiyur. So, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to be seeing this Braisa later on in our Masechta. So Rabbi Yehuda says that when do I do a bedika? So I do it once or arbasar. Now in the context over here, clearly it's a reference to the night on the 14th, and that is because the next time you do bedika is shacharis in the morning of the 14th, and then shasa beer at the time that we're doing beer. So what do we see over here? Midikama Rav Yehuda Botkin or Arbasar Uve Aba Asa Shachris Ama or Tehushmamina. So this brisa seems to be a really good proof that the word or in this context means the night of the 14th. Okay. Meisvei the Gemara challenges Meimasai Arba Asar Asar Baasias Malacha. When on the 14th are we not allowed to do Malacha? When we get to the fourth parak here in Psachim, we're going to be talking about a minug, a long-standing minug of not doing malacha on Erev Pesach. And we'll discuss that in more detail looking ahead to the fourth parak of Psachim. In the meantime, however, when does this begin? When does the Isser Malacha begin? Rebbe Eleazar ben Yaakov Amar Mishasa or Rebbe Yehuda Amar Mishasa Hanetzach Chama. So, Machlokes HaTanayim. According to Rebbe Eleazar ben Yaakov, it's Mishas HaOr. Now, what exactly does that mean? Sounds like what he's referring to is night of. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mishas HaNetz HaChama. It's from the time of Netz HaChama. Now, we know that's sunrise. So, Amalei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov LeRabbi Yehuda. So, now we get to see the back and forth. And through the back and forth, it will become pretty clear in terms of which of these Tanaim mean what. So, the Amalei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov LeRabbi Yehuda V'chi Heicha Matzina Yom Shemiksasu Asur Ve'asiyas Malacha U'miksasu Mutar Ve'asiyas Malacha. So, the challenge to Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, right, sunrise. That's the break in the day in which beforehand you're allowed to do malacha and afterwards you're not allowed to do malacha. What is that? Meaning, when do we have an Isser Malacha that just appears in the middle of the day? Which now you can hear from the argument that means that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, his starting point would be night. That way the whole day is included in the Isser Malacha. Anyway, let's just finish up the brisa. Amalei hu atzmo yochiach shemiksaso motar ba'achilas chametz miksaso aser ba'achilas chametz. So Rabbi Yehuda's counter-argument is, wait one second, right? Do you notice on Erev Pesach, some of the day you're allowed to eat chametz, some of the day you're not allowed to eat chametz? Again, this is a point which we're going to clarify in much better detail later in the Masechta, but we all know that when it comes to the Isser of chametz, it doesn't start the night of Pesach, right? It doesn't start on the night of the 15th, but it actually starts on the 14th. When the 14th? Midday. Which means that before midday you're allowed to eat chametz, and after midday you're not allowed to eat chametz. Now in just a moment we're going to remind each other that the Chachamim actually gave us a couple of hours ahead of midday in order to make sure that we don't violate the Issur D'oraisa. But anyway, what you see over here is that the day is broken into two when it comes to chametz. So mid the kamer of Yehuda Mishas Hanetz Chama Ama or the kamer of Elazar ben Yaakov or Tahu. So the Gemara says, now I think it's clear. Meaning once you see the argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, and once you see Rabbi Yehuda saying that before sunrise mutar b'malacha, after sunrise asur b'malacha, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you just broke the day in half, so it's pretty clear that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's usage of the word or over here means the night of the 14th. It's pretty clear. The Gemara says not necessarily low. My or, amud ha-shachar. So the word or over here can be used in the context of dawn. To which the Gemara says, what? Ihachi dekamer leheicha matzina yom shemiksasa mutar ba'asiyas malacha miksasa asur ba'asiyas malacha neima il nafshei ha'ika laila dekashare. So then the Gemara says, then we lost the entire argument of the Braisa. Remember, Rav Yehuda says sunrise, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, what are you doing? You're starting an Isser Malacha halfway through the day? Now, if the or of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov meant dawn, the argument of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that he used on Rav Yehuda could just bounce right back on him. Because if the Isser Malacha starts at dawn, so now it's the same exact argument, right? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So that means that the whole night it's Mutar b'Malacha, and now once you get to dawn, it's Asur b'Malacha, and you're breaking the day into two? The Gemara says that's unreasonable. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, well, actually, we're going to defend it. And that is that according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Isser Malacha starts at dawn. And it still he could defend that position. Bisham li didi ashkechina dekapalagei rabbanan ben yamama lelaila. So he says, look, my Isser Malacha starts at dawn, but that is precedented. Where else do we find it? We find it Gabi Tanit Sibor regarding public fast days. Ad Masai Ocha Veshosa, Achi Ala Amud Ashacha Divrei, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Omer Ad Kros Hagever. Okay, Tanaim debate exactly when a public fast day begins, but basically it's dawn. you see that when it comes to a public fast day, you can eat the whole night, but once you get to dawn, you have to stop eating. So there is already a halachic break in the day that starts at dawn, i.e. the beginning of a fast day. So, but according to you, but you, what are you doing? You're breaking up a day right in the middle of the day. Now, not in the middle of the day, but still, right? At some point in the day now, you're breaking it up, meaning the day starts at dawn. And now, right, a little over an hour after dawn, now we're getting to sunrise, and now you're considering that to be halachically significant? Like, where do we find that? Like, what is that? So Amr Lay, who wants more yochich, she miksasa motor b'achilas chametz, or miksasa asa b'achilas chametz. So now let's take a look at the counter-argument of Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda says, what about the Isser Chametz? Isser Chametz, halfway through the day, it's mutter. And I mean, there is no Isser. And then the second half of the day, it's Usser. So you're asking me about breaking a day into two? What are you talking about? Look at Erev Pesach itself. We do break the day into two. So Shapi Kamalei Rav Yehuda LeRav Elazar. So the Gemara for a moment now wants to just reflect on, that was a really good response. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that response? Sorry. What is Rabbi Elazar going to do with that response? So Hachi Kamalei Rabbi Eliezer. Amin Alachana Malacha de Rabbanu Va'atam Atli Chametz de Araisa. So he says, look, I'm talking about Malacha, which is a minhag. The Gemara here describes it as a din de Rabbanan. Okay, later in the fourth paragraph we'll clarify exactly what the nature of that Isser Malacha is. But here's what it's not. It's not an Isser Daraisa. There is no Isser Daraisa not to do Malacha on Erev Pesach. It's a din de Rabbanan. Fine. So when we're talking about rabbinic legislation, so the Chachamim don't do that. They don't divide the day into two. You're talking about Chametz, which is an Isser Daraisa. Okay, so the Torah, one time in the year, so the Torah is going to divide the day into two. Half the day it's mutter to eat chametz, second half the day it's usher to eat chametz. But I'm talking about rabbinic legislation. We don't find the Chachamim do that. Okay, when it comes to chametz, the Torah says, first half mutter, second half usher. Now, v'idach sha'os derabbanan. Now, the counter-argument is, what are you talking about? Meaning, it's true that on midday on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. But there is also a couple of hours ahead of that where the Chachamim said that we're not allowed to eat chametz. That's rabbinic legislation. V'idach. Now, the counter-argument to that is very simple. Harchakahu da'avid rabbana lida araisa. No, that's rabbinic legislation. That's only a buffer to the Isser da'araisa of achilas chametz. Meaning, what's the starting point? Starting point is that the Torah says that halfway through the day of Erev Pesach, so you're allowed to eat chametz, the second half you're aser. What the Chachamim did is the Chachamim just simply backed it up a couple of hours. But that's only a buffer, that's only insulation to the Isser Daraisa. But that's not our discussion. Our discussion is the Isser Malacha on Erev Pesach. Now, I'm telling you that it begins at dawn, which, again, that's what we're arguing right now. It begins at dawn. There, we find that precedented, where the Chachamim have legislation beginning at dawn, i.e. Tanit Sibur, a public fast day. So for me, I'm standing on good ground. But according to you, Netzachama, sunrise, we're already over an hour into the day, and now you're arguing that, now there's going to be Nisr Malacha? We don't find that. So, okay, fine. So far, as we're almost approaching the end of the daf, it does seem that the word or, as used in the Mishnah and in the Brises that we quoted, is a reference to the night of. Meis Ve'ed Gemara challenges once again, Eim Asim Asuos Ela, Ala Chodesh Nira Bizmano Likadasho. Ve'eim Asim Asim Asuos Or Iburo. Okay, this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah talks about, once Beis Din was Mekadosh the Chodesh, so then how is that information communicated to the community at large? Okay, so, Bimher B'yameinu, with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so the answer is going to be very simple. We're all going to receive a text message. Good. But back in the day, where instant communication was not instant, so how do you send this message across miles and miles of land? So the original institution was to have torches being lit on the top of the mountain so the information can carry. Now, over here, it gets really detailed in terms of which night we're going to send this information. And just for the sake of brevity and to conclude the daf, I'm not going to go through all the details right now in terms of which night it is that we're going to light the torches. It really is contingent on a number of factors, which I don't want to get through right now. Anyway, right now we're looking simply at the linguistics of that Mishnah, When do we light Leor Iburo? At the night of the Iber. Iber is a reference to the 30th day, the night after the 30th day. Again, all this is going to be explained much better when we get to Masechta Rosh Hashanah. But anyway, right now we're focusing on the word or, as it clearly over here is being referenced to a night. Ama or tohu shmamina. So the Gemara says it's a really solid proof that the word or used in the context of the Mishnayos is a reference to night. The Kohen was up the whole night. He pulled an all-nighter. And he was makriv ala mizbech. And then, le'ora, as it gets light, so then he has to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. He has to wash his hands and feet, despite the fact that he didn't go to sleep that night. Anyway, it sounds like the word ora is a reference to the day. So the Gemara says very simply, ora shani. No, that's not the word or. Or is a reference to night when used in Mishnayos. The word ora, okay, that could be used in reference to a day. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first daf of Psachim. And let's just take a moment to recap our daf today. What we have over here in our Masechta is the introduction to the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. On the night of the 14th, so we're bodik. We do a bedika to examine and in order to eradicate the chametz. Why are we doing a Bedikas Chametz? So there, beginning of today's daf, we saw Rashi and Tosos. Rashi writes, Shelo yavor alav b'val yirav v'yimatzeh, because you don't want to be violating v'al yirav v'yimatzeh, therefore you do bedika. That's a very difficult pshat of Rashi. Tosos notes, that's not why we do bedika. If it was just an issue of v'al yirav v'yimatzeh, you do bitul. You nullify the chametz, and that removes the problem of ownership. So why are we doing bedika? So Tosos says, because if we don't do bedika, bedika is first and foremost a rabbinic injunction in order to make sure that we're going to successfully destroy all of our chametz. Meaning going to Pesach, we need to destroy our chametz. The Chachamim want us to destroy our chametz. So before we get to destroy, we need search, right? Search and destroy. So, and why do we want search and destroy? Because if we leave chametz around, even if we don't own it, even if we're mevatel it, but we leave chametz around, we're going to be tempted to eat it. And so that's why the Chachamim impose bedika to get us going in the process of search and destroy. Good. That's Tosfos. Why is there such vigor, excitement about searching and destroying for chametz? So Tosfos writes, because we've habituated ourselves the rest of the year to eat chametz, and it's totally mutter for most of the year. Now for 7 days, we are told to abstain, to restrain from eating chametz. It's difficult. Habits are hard to break. And so therefore, we have chametz lying around. So absentmindedly, we're going to come and eat the chametz. So therefore, a requirement to search and destroy. So says the first Tosfos, extraordinarily fundamental. Okay. Our discussion. And then the Mishnah went through the details, actually one specific detail of one general rule in terms of what to do bedika, only areas where you introduce chametz over the course of the year. If you didn't introduce chametz into that area, there's no requirement of bedika. And then the Mishnah went through the cellar, and how exactly to check in the cellar. Now it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but we really have not yet given a good pshat in that Mishnah that's coming up later in the Gemara in terms of the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then, from that point going forward, the Mishnah's opening word, Or La'arba Asar, which we translate correctly as the night of the 14th. But the word Or, of course, means day. So what does the word Or mean? So right now, as we have proposed, a machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in terms of what the word Or in our Mishnah means. According to Rav Huna, it means day, which means that according to Rav Huna, you're checking the morning of. And according to Rav Yehuda, it means night, which means that you're checking the night prior. Okay, that's the way it's presented right now. And for the entirety of Daf Beis of Psachim, a lengthy discussion of, do we find the word or used anywhere in Tanakh that would be described as a noun, as a reference to night, or as a reference to day? Oddly enough, interestingly enough, after many Psukim that we went through, no clarity in terms of the word or being used as a noun to describe either day or night. Most of them indicated that it means day, but again, the Gemara deflected every one of the psukim. Then on the Amud Beis, we went through a couple of brisos. In the context of the brisos, it seems pretty clear that the word or is being used in reference to night. We also quoted a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, where there also the word or is pretty clearly being used as a reference to night. Okay, so right now the evidence is building up that the word or, when used in a Mishnah, is actually a reference to night. Okay, why that should be, that sounds a little bit strange, it's counterintuitive, so stay tuned, come back tomorrow, and we'll discuss it in more detail tomorrow.